Our Father, thank you that we can call you our Father, and thank you for how we can ask you to help our heart not grow cold, like in that song. Thank you that we can bring everything to you. We can even tell you when we are lacking faith, when we are struggling. And now we just want to ask that you'd help us. Who am I? Who are we that we can know it all, know the scriptures and understand it all? We can't. We need you. Lord, please, would you help us to understand the things we'll look at tonight? And may you impress upon us these things, and may these words we look at be a real blessing to us all. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have you ever had a JW come to your door? Yeah, probably you all have, or many of you have. And by the way, what I'm going to share, I'm not trying to knock a JW here, but I just want to share something that I've realized about JW. JWs are people who need to be saved, and we need to love them. But I know that I've had JWs come to my door, and they have different tacks at times, but sometimes when they have come to my door, they have tried to push upon me something. And what it is that they say to you that God's proper name is Jehovah, and that's what you should call him. Mind you, they're Jehovah Witnesses. That's why they probably like this. And they'll even say, what's your name? My name's Ian. Well, just like how it would be inappropriate for you to be called by any other name than Ian, so it is when you don't call God Jehovah. It is wrong. You need to call God Jehovah. So anyone had that? I have. No? All right. Oh, well, I have conversations with them, and I know that I've had that several times. And the first thing I think of is, how would you respond to that pressure they put on you in regard to calling God by his proper name, they say, Jehovah? You need to know a little bit of stuff first. Jehovah, you know this? Jehovah is what we call a hybrid name. And what that means is that it's the combination of the Hebrew name Yahweh and the vowels of the Hebrew name for God, Adonai. And that's how they make up that word, because Yahweh is too holy to say. So it's even a hybrid name. So why are they pressing upon us this is God's proper name? Why not some of the other names? Like, I love the names of God, by the way, in the Old Testament. Like Elohim. That's a common name for God. El is God. Elohim means God in the plural, in the sense of God the Magnificent, God the Supreme One. Or what about the name that God used for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What was that one? El Shaddai. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Or what about Yahweh? Why not use it? That was the name that God gave to Moses. And Yahweh means I am who I am. It's a great name for God. Now, the JWs have to push on you. It's Jehovah. That's his name. That's what you should call him. But you know, regardless of all this, I want you to understand something wonderful tonight. There is a name that we are to call God that overrules all that. And what name is that? Our Father. That's right. It's not anymore, you know, you can call God El Shaddai and Adonai and Yahweh, all these Hebrew names, or just God. But actually, the preferred name that we are to use for God is Father. And I didn't come up with that. Nor did you. Jesus did. Jesus came up with that. You know, and we actually saw it in our Bible reading tonight. I reckon that the Jewish people would have been a bit shocked. You know, Jesus begins to teach and he's not saying Yahweh or Adonai or El Shaddai or just God. He actually starts straight with Father. And that was in the prayer that Jesus taught us, didn't he? He said, you shall pray like this, our Father who is in heaven. And right through the Sermon on the Mount and right through Jesus' teaching, you see Jesus using the word Father. If you have your Bibles, have a quick look at just one chapter in the Sermon on the Mount. All right, Matthew 5:16. Straight after the Beatitudes, Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the first time it comes up in the Sermon on the Mount. I can imagine people going, what did Jesus just say? He just said that we are to call, that he's referring to God as your Father. And then near the end of the first chapter on, in terms of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 43 to 45, we read there, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." There it is again. A few verses down, 47 and 48. "If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Thus you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You ought to love that. Jesus is doing something amazing. He is telling us that God is your Father, your heavenly Father. Wow. By the way, going back to the JWs, I've tried this on them. If you want to stump a JW in this regard, you go, "Oh, you reckon I should call God Jehovah? Whenever does Jesus call God Jehovah? And when does he tell me to call God Jehovah?" "Oh, well, they won't find it. It's not even in their Bibles," which they've modified. Pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. All right. So why are they pushing it? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I feel really sad for them, by the way, just to let you know that. They seem to be so close, but they miss vital things. Have you ever thought of that? It's important we don't just condemn them. You know, they're people who we need to care for, but they just miss out some really important vital things. So why did Jesus, the next good question to ask is, why did Jesus introduce God to us as our Father? That's good to consider that. Why not using one of the Hebrew names of the past? Why not? Well, first of all, let's notice that Jesus himself would call God Father. He himself would use that term. He would say, "My Father." So see how Jesus uses it in regard to his relationship with God. He would say, "My Father." Again, let's look at that in the Bible. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." See Jesus taking hold of that? My Father. And let's have a look at a few other times when it comes up just in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." See how Jesus is saying to people, he's calling God my Father. A few more times, Matthew 16, 16 and 17. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I just love that. I love the language of Jesus. And you know, can't go past the Garden of Gethsemane, where Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, in that time of great anguish, Jesus says there in Matthew 26, 39, Jesus fell on his face. Wow, what desperation, what stress he was in. He fell on his face and he prayed, "My Father," or in Mark's Gospel, "Abba Father. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." So the first thing I want you to realize is that Jesus himself would constantly be calling God my Father. The Jewish people, by the way, picked up on that. There's an incident in John chapter 5 where Jesus has been talking about God being his Father. I'm just going to read it to you. John chapter 5, 17 and 18. And it says there, Jesus says, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him." Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They heard loud and clear that he was saying, "My Father," and they were angry because they knew that that was saying that Jesus and God are on the same level. And they thought that's blasphemy for Jesus to say that. But it's true. He could say, that God is my Father? Because He is the Son of God. Absolutely isn't He. And He loved to declare to people that God is my Father. So then, there's no surprise that Jesus is calling God my Father because of who He is. He came from the Father. He's the Father of the Eternal Son. But what a surprise when Jesus tells us that you are to call God Father. And it is a surprise. Who are we to call God Father? Who are we to take on that same name that Jesus takes on? Who are we? How dare we call God Father ourselves? No. No, not at all. You see what Jesus is doing? I love this. Jesus introduces God to us as our Father because He's preparing us for what would come about through His death and resurrection. He's calling God my Father. But what He would do for us on the cross and through His resurrection is to bring us into the same relationship He has with God. And He began to teach that in his ministry years. He's your Father. He's your Father. And then it happened. Jesus died upon that cross. The curtain was rent in two from top to bottom. Jesus opened the way for us to not only be saved, but to be made right with God and to be a child of God, where God becomes our Father. I shared it this morning, but I just want to say to you again, don't be narrow-minded when it comes to the cross. I never said those words, but that's basically what it is. Yes, embrace the fact that Jesus died on that cross for our sins to be forgiven. Embrace that. Embrace the fact that Jesus' death on the cross has saved you from eternal punishment. Embrace the truth that Jesus died on the cross to give you eternal life. But never forget something else. There's something else. Jesus died on the cross to bring you into relationship with the Father. The big word used in the Bible is you've been reconciled to God. You once were lost. You were an enemy of God. Now you have become a child of God. You've become an adopted son. You've been elevated to a place higher than the angels. It's incredible. I can't get my head around it. That's what you are now if, the key is, if you have faith in Jesus. And I just love what Jesus has done for us. I just can't get over it, that He has given us this incredible position. And when we say, my Father, our Father, we ought to understand what that actually means. We're actually acknowledging what a glorious thing Jesus has done for us in bringing us into right relationship with God. Back to the JWs. I do really spend time helping them after I ask them, where did Jesus say you have to call God Jehovah? And they can't find it. But then I say to them, well, why do you think Jesus encouraged us to call God Father? And that sort of opens them up, you know, all right, tell me, I don't know. So I tell them why. It's about us being in right relationship with God, where we can know God personally. Well, that freaks them out a bit, you know. But you know what? I've seen some of them really get jolted in a good sense, and they start to be open about what it might be about that they've missed. Unfortunately, they're into, you know, good works, and God's still a bit distant, and we're into the fact that we can be made right with God and know God so personally, so intimately. And it's best captured in that wonderful title, My Father. What a great truth it is. God is my Father through faith in Jesus. I reckon it's a great truth to rejoice in on Father's Day. What do you reckon? Great truth to rejoice in. I think of all the blessings and benefits I have in the Christian faith. There are so many. But I honestly can't get over. I think the greatest, and I think it should be the greatest, and it is the greatest for me. The greatest benefit, blessing for me is to be reconciled to the Father. To actually be a son of the living God. I get that. It's not just all these other things that have happened. Yes, sins are forgiven and I'm not going to get punished and I'm going to have eternal life. But the big thing is this. I am a son or you're a daughter of the Father on high. That's a fantastic thing. You ought to value that with all your heart. That's more important than anything. That's better than being the President of America. Who'd want to be the President of America anyway? But you know, it doesn't matter what status or high position there is in this earth, there's nothing better. The highest position has got to be being a son or daughter of God the Father because of Jesus, because of what he's done for us. So you should, you know, if you're a Christian, you ought to walk with a head lifted up high. You ought to feel proud and thankful at the same time for what you have become in Christ. I reckon the angels might even envy you. See, our position is even higher than them. All right. I just want to also show you, even though the word Father might not be dominant in these passages, but that truth that goes hand in hand with that title Father is seen in the Apostle Paul's teaching. What I want you to see here is this strong emphasis on reconciliation, how we have been reconciled to God the Father. We're going to look at a few passages in his epistles. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, 8 to 11. It says there, Romans chapter 5, 8 to 11. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, do you see the emphasis on reconciliation there? What does that mean, reconciliation? It means we have been made right with God. God's our Father. We're one of his sons or daughters. And you see this great truth coming in again and again. It doesn't just say that we have been saved from our sins, saved from the wrath of God. That's in that passage. But we've also been reconciled. And God's now our Father. And that's something we need to grasp hold of. That's meant to be a wow thing. That's huge. Let's have a look at another passage. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons. See that? To adoption. We weren't sons and daughters of God, but we've now been adopted into the family. What an adoption. We have been predestined as to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Oh, I love those words. And gee, the word adoption is there, and how we're in the beloved. Who speaks like that? Only if you're in the family. We're in the family. God's family. We're his children. We're adopted children. We were actually children of the devil. Pretty full on, isn't it? But God has taken us from that place and brought us into his own family. And now we call God not judge, not supreme ruler. We're encouraged to call him Father. Wow. That's incredible. Let's now look at Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 14. And then 19 and 20. And I'm sort of cutting in here. It says in partway through that verse, the Father hath qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then verses 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure, oh, I love these words, the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him, that's Jesus, of course, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. That's a great, magnificent chapter, Colossians 1. It was the Father's good pleasure for his Son to reconcile you to him. Pretty amazing. You know, I haven't read this yet, but another great incident that happened that helps me be affirmed in this is after Jesus' resurrection. So this is found in John chapter 20. And it's lovely to look at this passage. John 20, verses 15 to 17. Jesus, it's the Resurrection Sunday. Jesus has been raised from the dead. The disciples have no idea what's going on. You know the story, don't you? They have no idea. They think the women who come back saying, he's alive, they've just gone crazy. And Mary Magdalene, not Mary the mother of Jesus, but Mary Magdalene, a woman who had demons in her, who Jesus rescued, and she became a follower of Jesus. She is back at the tomb and she's weeping. And picking up the story in John 20, verse 15, she doesn't know that Jesus is right there. You know, she's weeping and crying, probably head down, and doesn't realize that this stranger is Jesus. And it says, Jesus said to her, that means this stranger in her mind, said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. She thought him, the gardener, had knocked off the body of Jesus. What do you think of that? And he had knocked off the body, if you get it. Because Jesus had knocked off his own body, hadn't he? All right. That's okay. Look at the patience of Jesus. And he says to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Wow, I love this story. And then it says, Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. There it is. What's there? Absolutely clear. The heart and essence and goal of Christ's ministry. Make sure you get it. It does not mention there things about being forgiven of sin or having eternal life, which is all important and all needed. But the most important thing, really Jesus in a nutshell tells us what it's all about, why he died in your place. So that he would make his Father our Father. And even in his humility, my God, your God. It's all about reconciliation. That we might forever know God as our Father, not just here on earth, but for all eternity. Wonderful words. I ascend, Jesus said, to my Father, and listen to this, and your Father, to my God and your God. Indeed, Jesus, therefore, is happy to call us brothers. How about that? That's in Hebrews. He's our elder brother. I thought I was the eldest in my family. John comes second. But I have an older brother. I'm so glad I have an older brother. He is the best brother to have. I haven't been the best brother for my brother, but this brother named Jesus is the best brother. Even though he's divine, even though he's the king, he has become our brother and God has become our Father. Wow, it's just I love all this. And you know, just to finish with a few other things about God the Father, I just want to share in finishing, we don't just call God Father in terms of a title. We call God Father because he is Father. And he's a wonderful Father. I know people have said to me in the past, you shouldn't use the word Father for God because it just has a wrong connotation. There are so many bad fathers here on earth. And look, that's just rubbish. Forget about how bad things are here on earth. Remember that the Father in heaven is glorious and wonderful. And fathers on earth should actually be looking at that one and realizing whether they're on track or not. And God the Father is a most wonderful Father. We ought to call him Father, not just because Jesus said call him Father, but because he is Father. He is Father to us. I want to highlight four things about Jesus, what Jesus said in regard to our Father. The first one is in Matthew chapter 10, 29 to 31. And it says there, Matthew 10, 29 to 31, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? In other words, they're not worth very much at all. And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. So what I pick up from here is that our Father, how do I know that he's a true Father? Because he knows me and he values me. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He knows you. He knows everything. He knows the barrows. He knows all about that. And he's saying to you, us, Jesus is saying to us that your Father in heaven knows you and you're of great worth to him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to grasp hold of? That's right. Every decent father should know their children and value their children. And our Father does us. Okay, what about this passage? Turn now to John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, and then 26 and 27. What do we learn about our Father here? John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day, Jesus says, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Then verses 26 and 27. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. What do you make of those words? Do you understand something else there about the Father heart of God? In a nutshell, it says there that he hears us and he loves us. Where's that there? There it is. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you. And the Father hears you. And what Jesus is saying here is pretty much this. This is not the deal. It's not like you pray to me and then I'll pass the message on to the Father. No. You have direct access to the Father. You pray to him. He hears you and he loves you. What a Father. That's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. How many times as humans we seem to think that I can't really have direct relationship with God. We've got to have all these in-betweens. And it's not just Jesus. We have, you know, the Mary and the saints and all these priests and all these people. But Jesus is saying, no, through me you have direct access to the Father. And what a heart he has. He will hear you and he loves you. We've got to take this on board. So often we're just blocked. We just don't get it. You've got to take these words to heart. He hears you. And he loves you. That's a Father. Righto, next one. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 33. It says there, Matthew 6, 31 to 33, back into the Sermon on the Mount, says, don't be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. That your Father in heaven, Heavenly Father, knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What's Jesus saying to us? The Father. He cares for you. You don't have to worry. The Father does. And he will provide for you. What a Father. See how Jesus is constantly helping us get a far better picture of who God our Father is. Helping us to realize that we can trust him. He cares for us and will provide for us. Do you get it? Just love the fact of what Jesus is doing. You know, we have got such a bad view of God and Jesus is trying to correct it. Not trying, he is correcting it. That we might embrace our Father just as he loves the Father. All right, just finishing now on these last two passages. Something else about our Father. Turn now with me to John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. John 14, 1 and 2. It says there, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And what I love there is that there is a place called the Father's house. And we got a place there, a room in the Father's house. He's a good Father. He's got a room for you right with him. I just love that. And let me just spell it out a bit more what that looks like. you have to turn to the second last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 21. And it says there, Revelation 21, 1 to 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Wow, this is all for those who love Jesus and believe in him. The new Jerusalem, I reckon, is the same thing as what Jesus said in John 14:2, my Father's house. He calls it my Father's house there. In Revelation 21, it's called the New Jerusalem. It is beautiful. It is like the best bride ever adorned, you know, adorned and beautified for us to enjoy. And it goes on to say, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne, who's that? That's a reference to God the Father. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Write, he said, for these words are faithful and true. So our Father, in the age to come, shall create a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus, of course, is also involved in this, creating this wonderful place where we shall dwell. And God's throne shall be upon a new earth in a new Jerusalem. And we're going to be there, and our Father will always be with us more than now. By faith we behold our Father. One day it will be face to face forever and ever, because he is our Father. And you can't help but see in the book of Revelation, it's not just that we go to be with Jesus, we are with the Father and the Son forever. The Father and the Son together. And that's how we've always meant to see it. It's always been that. It's not just Jesus, it's not just Father, it's Father and Son. And we'll be in their presence forever. That is paradise. That's glory. That's what's to come. So hang in there. What a great Father we have. And of course, the Father would want us to say, what a great Savior we have. What a great Son Jesus is to the Father. And look what he's done. He's caused us to be adopted into the family. Wow, on a Father's Day, how good it is to just look at these things. I don't know, I get overwhelmed with all this. Hope you do too. You know, we might know it all, but it's another thing to take it to heart. And who am I? Who are you that we should be blessed so much? If we are a believer in Jesus, how blessed it is to be in the family. You might be in a pretty rotten family, but if you're in God's family, you're in the best family. Righty-o. Happy Father's Day. Let's close in prayer. We love you, our Father. Thank you for all that you've done for us, bringing it about, planned it from long ago, allowing us sinners who have gone astray to be brought back into your family. You know, Lord, it's so upsetting to see the world just throwing you away, having no regard for you. If only they had their eyes open to realize that you are the one who is everything, our maker, our creator, but the one who has sought us, pursued us, and brought about a great salvation for us through Jesus. Help us not just to realize that our sins are forgiven in Jesus and we're not going to get punished and we're going to have an eternal life. Help us to really value this whole great truth about how we've been reconciled to you and we're your children. Help us to realize how much we are loved by you, even when we mess it up here on earth. Thank you that you're our Father. You're going to care for us for all eternity. And Jesus, you're going to keep on looking after us too. Thank you for your great Son. Thank you that he shall ever be our shepherd, leading us, as it says in Revelation 7, to the springs of the water of life. Thank you, Father, that it says in your word too, that one day you're going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. What a tender act that is. Oh, Lord, if we know Jesus, may we get to know you better and better too. And thank you for the time we've had tonight and also this morning. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for the blessing it is to be together and to have you ministering to us as well. Lord, may you help us have a good week ahead. May we be growing in our relationship with you, even tomorrow, even tonight. And I ask that you'd guide us and help us in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.